Welcome back to LA Catholic Morning. Spy Wednesday here, and Todd and Ellen getting you ready for the Triduum. On the line is Dr. Charles Rousseau. Charlie is the chair of education in the School of Health and Sciences. This is a big title here, Charlie. You do a lot. You're a professor of law at the University of Dayton, Ohio. He's a regular guest, and he always joins us to break
things down. Charlie Rousseau. He's got all the time in the world, huh?
Thanks for having me back.
Oh.
How are you guys doing today? All set for Easter?
Good. I was going to give you this nice formal introduction, and Mike just
I looked up a supply of Easter bunny jokes last night for our granddaughter, so I should be all set to go.
Praise the Lord.
What are you going to share with us that is probably going to get Todd upset? The SCOTUS kicks the can down the road on parental rights. What is going on with that? I thought we were making headway with this problem.
I thought so too, you know, and I just wrote another article for Catholic World Report that I might come back with you on that one, but you know, next year in June, at the 100th anniversary of one of the most important cases ever in education with the Supreme Court, Pierce versus Society of Sisters was a case out of Oregon, really addressed two issues, and interrupt any time you need to, please. The first issue is whether faith-based schools had the right to exist. Oregon long had, and has, I think, still, a pretty pro-secular policy, so they tried to change the law to say that the only way parents could satisfy compulsory attendance laws was to send their children to public schools. So the Society of Sisters, a Catholic school, and the Hill Military Academy, a secular military academy, challenged the law not on the First Amendment and religion, but on the basis of destroying their property. You can't be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. And the Supreme Court unanimously ruled that they can't do that.
Yeah.
But so on that regard, non-public schools are doing well. School choice has really grown as a result. But in maybe an even more important aspect of the case, the court said, and I quote now, so bear with me, the child is not the mere creature of the state. Those who nurture him and direct his destiny have the right, coupled with the high duty, to recognize and prepare him for additional obligations. Being a university professor, I always apologize for the male pronoun that's not inclusive, but that's 100 years ago. But all kidding aside, it said that parents have a right to direct the education of their kids. And we've seen that in recent Supreme Court cases in terms of where parents can send their kids with vouchers and programs. But on this whole issue dealing with sexuality, the courts have really stood this on the ear. And a couple of weeks ago, the Supreme Court refused to hear an appeal in a case from Indiana, MC and JC versus Indiana Department of Child Services. A 15-year-old student came home and told his parents that he no longer thought he was a male, he thought he was a female. And because they were Catholic parents, the kid child was 16, I'm sorry, not 15, but a minor. And when the student complained, Child Services found out about it. The parents were found to be fit parents. There was no abuse. There was nothing improper. Even so, they removed the child from the custody of the parents, put the child in foster care, and the parents challenged it and lost in the state courts.
Wow.
They appealed to the Supreme Court and lost up there and had a long online discussion email with one of my former students who's also a faculty member at a local college here, asking why the court didn't hear the case, and I can't tell you. They just said, we're not going to hear it. Now, one possibility is that because the student is now over 18 and independent, that may be a basis. However, there's a concept in law that says if an issue is, quote, capable of repetition yet awaiting review, in other words, if it's going to happen over and over, they could take the case. That could be one reason, or they just may not want to have to deal with this issue at this point until things play out a little bit more, I guess, is the way of describing it. My concern is that, again, whatever an individual's sexual orientation is, actual or perceived, you treat them with respect. But if a child's under 18, why or how does the state have the ability to come in and deny parents the right to exercise their control over a minor child in their care? And that's the issue I discussed there. And I just sent in a column yesterday, which may be on our discussion now, but three cases from the Pacific Northwest, two, I think, in Washington, one in Oregon. People who are Christians were denied the opportunity to either become foster parents or adopt because they did not buy into the transgender ideology.
Yeah.
Mm. See.
And so I hope that gives you enough of a start. Just you wonder, where are parental rights? I mean, certainly you respect the kids wherever they are. But is a 12, 13, even 16-year-old fully aware of what's going on? I question that.
Not only the question of whether it's fully aware, Charlie, but it's what you consider. Like earlier you said you have to respect the child, but it's like, how do you define that? And then how do you define abuse? Because you don't pull a child out of the parent's home unless there really is abuse. And I've got friends that work for child services. I mean, there are plenty of cases that are legitimate, and it's sad. But,
no doubt.
But something like that, this is where the fine line, though, you know, like, okay, my kids are not allowed to have their cell phones at night. All right? So when they're going to bed, their cell phones go on my bedstand next to me. And so what if they complain to child services about that?
Yeah, you're a bad parent.
And they're like, oh, I can't even have my cell phone. I can't check my Instagram at 11 o'clock at night because my dad is torturing me. Mm-hmm. And then they pull. Sure. Then they say, oh, that's right. That's abuse. Like, who are they to say what is abuse? When these children with dysphoria are saying, well, no, I'm not a boy anymore. I'm a girl. That's dysphoria. But to say, oh, I'm going to stick you in foster care, yeah, that's going to be better for this kid? Like, Charlie, I'm sorry. This is ridiculous.
We're on the same page. Trust me.
I think if I could add something, there's been two cases in Europe or stories out of Europe this in the past 2 weeks. Out of England that said that this transition and giving minors hormone treatments and the gender stuff is crackpot medicine. The French Senate this past week passed a law saying that it needs to be made illegal. So I
saw that one this morning.
Yeah, I would speculate that another case will come down the pike. And now, as time passes, we're going to have a little bit more, let's say, meat behind the argument in regards to what other Western countries and medicine are even recognizing. England has done away with minors getting any sort of transition treatments now.
Right, and a point that I tried to make, I think, in that column and in a couple of others I've written, if they want to transition, I mean, that's their lives, but wait until you're 18 and an adult, free on your own, you can make your own decision. I mean, at 12, 14, 15, I mean, there's been cases where kids have had surgery at 8, 9 years of age, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
A kid can't go into a school nurse and ask for an aspirin without parental permission.
Right.
Yet they want to give them drugs and surgery?
Yeah, I think another case, at any time, Charlie, when we see this type of case maybe hit a wall, there's usually a dozen other cases that are in the pipeline.
Oh, absolutely.
That they're prepping. Yeah. So I wouldn't be disheartened. We'd like it done here and now and the line drawn, but they're not.
Yeah, I mean, and again, we're on the same page. I mean, I tell people that when I write for Catholic World Reporter, I speak with you guys. It's Orthodox Catholicism. You know, I really dislike when people talk about, oh, Christian nationalism is conservative. It's not conservative. Mm-hmm. We stand for what the Roman Catholic Church's teachings have long been on the rights of parents to take care of their children. Mm-hmm. And the state is putting itself into places where it shouldn't be, whether it's not allowing your child to have a cell phone or not be able to dress in a different way. I mean, and in one of the other articles I've written, there were other cases not involving religion, where fathers, one in New York, I think one in California, objected to their wives transitioning their boys into girls, and they lost custody and visitation rights.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
See, this.
You know, you can't make this stuff up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like I said, there's no perfect parent, and there's no perfect parenting rules. You know, I've had people that have come to me, and they've come to my wife and I, and they've asked for counsel about certain things. And some of the stuff, I'll be honest, I'll tell them, Charlie, well, I mean, I definitely wouldn't do that. You know, that's a little bit beyond our scope of what we have. But we as parents are supposed to be setting up a structure for our children. It may not be perfect, but it is our vocation as a parent. We are supposed to be setting up a structure and creating an environment that is safe and nurturing for them. And I don't think, unless I'm like not feeding my child or doing something that truly is abusive, that I'm really concerned about when the state comes in to tell me how and how I'm not supposed to parent, Charlie.
Well, I agree. And you know, you stretch it just a little bit, Todd. In the article I just sent in last night, one of the cases from the Pacific Northwest, great-grandparents wanted to be fostered. They wanted to take their great-granddaughter, who was a year old, into their care because, and it didn't quite describe what the problems were, but there were problems within the baby's family. And when they filled out a questionnaire about whether they would provide all kinds of procedures to allow a child to become transgender, they said they couldn't do that because of their Christian faith. And they were denied the opportunity to provide foster care for a one-year-old.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. See, that's...
You know, you get this stuff, you just cannot make some of the facts up. Again, dysphoria, unfortunately, is a situation that's unfortunate because I have kids who are confused. But as you say, and in line with Pierce, the child is not the creature of the state. The parents have the right to direct the destiny and recognize them parents for additional obligations. And if we allow the state to step in and do these things, we're taking parents out of the picture.
I think, Charlie, your article is a good reminder that we got to be vigilant. And as much as sometimes we like to turn inward in our Catholic cocoon, oh, it's madness out there. We really have to stay in the public square and make sure that these things that are really important, because there are so many people in the world that are going to be swayed. I mean, they are just raised with nothing. They're swayed by everything. And these kind of arguments, they're going to fall in their ears and go, yeah, that makes sense. Everyone should choose without having any sort of background or being raised up with deciding with things with moral clarity or through theology or faith and reason, all of those things. So it's really important that we do this as much as we want to retreat.
Absolutely, but you know, you mentioned theology as we run out of time, I think.
Yeah.
Where are church leaders reminding parents of these things? Where are priests preaching on this?
Right. And people,
they run and hide under the church bench.
People choose wisely when you pick a spouse and the parent for your children.
Well, thanks, Charlie.
You guys again, have a blessed Easter. Thanks for having me on again. Appreciate it.
All
thanks,
right, we'll
Charlie.
Talk to you soon.
He's so good. We thank our sponsor, Eastern Shore Urgent Care Daphne, offering walk-in medical attention for minor emergencies and illnesses, open 7 days a week. Visit them on Urgent Care Drive across from Lowe's or contact them at 251-626-3782 or at esucare.com. Mikey, what's happening tomorrow?
Yes, tomorrow, President of Cross Catholic Outreach, Michelle Sagarino, shares about the Wells of Salvation program. Robert Overmeyer talks about the golf tournament at St. Pius X taking place next week, and you'll be dropping the blogosphere.
Tomorrow begins the Triduum, so let's get ready.
Yeah, I'll try to leave us on a high note as we head into the Triduum. I am. I'm looking at some things that might interest you, Todd.
I would appreciate it.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
My best.
For listening to LA Catholic Morning. God bless you all.
Don't forget to call your mama. She loves you.